Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Would you please stand as you are able as we sing our opening hymn, We Have a Gospel to Proclaim. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We have four Advent candles alight today, so would some children like to come and help us? And June is going to lead us in prayer as we do so.
We gather in the season of Advent, waiting and watching for the one who comes, not in splendor, but in humility. The God of the universe has changed addresses, leaving heaven's throne to dwell among us in a manger. This is grace, not earned, not expected, but freely given. We light the candle of love, marveling that the creator of galaxies chose a manger as a cradle. We say together, Jesus, your love is not distant. It is near to us, flesh and bone, living and breathing. Let your love transform our lives.
Thank you.
say together, God of love, you moved into our world with tenderness and truth. May we welcome you not just in our churches, but in our hearts. Amen.
And a special prayer for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. Gracious God, you chose the Virgin Mary by your grace to be the mother of our Lord and Saviour. So fill us with your grace, that with her we may rejoice in your salvation and in all things embrace your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jean's going to read our first reading for us.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. For the word of the Lord.
So please stand as you're able as we sing our next hymn, which is the version of a song of Mary that Mary sang after she'd heard messages from angels. My soul doth magnify the Lord. From the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Well, we know Christmas is very close. Thursday, not long at all. We lit 4 candles on our Advent wreath, and our Gospel passage quite clearly is beginning to tell the Nativity story. But still, in Advent this year, our readings have been directing us in asking the question, well, who is Jesus? Who are we waiting for? And that is still the question that should be on our mind today. In the reading from a letter to Romans that June read for us, Paul says that he was called to be an apostle of the gospel concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh and was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're beginning to ask the question, who is Jesus? And we may be led to the answer, well, a good theological answer came in the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD. And they had thought about it long and they came up with this. Jesus is one person in two natures, complete in his deity and complete in the very same in his humanity. Okay, that's theology. And that's hard to get our head around. But when we read the passages from the New Testament, from the letters and the Gospels, we need to remember they were written probably 400 years or more before the theologians came up with that definition. And that wasn't the concern. The controversies and the debates of that time wasn't the concern of Paul or of the gospel writers. What was important to them is who was Jesus? And Jesus had come as a paradigm change, a complete sea change in the relationship between God and God's creation. And this was the culmination of all that had been promised of old through all the prophets. Indeed, if you read through Paul's letters, he very, very rarely makes any mention of Jesus' origins, his birth at all. The passage we read when he says he was a son of David is one. And in the letter to Timothy, he says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. But other than that, Paul is not concerned. He's more concerned with Jesus' death and what that means. And the gospel writers were more concerned with Jesus' teaching, with his proclamation that the kingdom of God was at hand. But as they wrote their gospels, they're trying to convince people of the reality of the beliefs that they had. They needed to say, well, who is Jesus? And in the culture of the time, to say someone was important, you had to actually say, well, where have they come from? The origin of their origin story, so to speak, was really important. So in John's Gospel, we have a majestic, the Word was with God from the beginning, and the Word has now become flesh and lived amongst us, and we see his glory. That was how John saw the majestic God from the beginning is now with us. Has now come to humanity. Luke and Matthew have the stories of the birth, and that was important to them to show where has Jesus come from. And in our reading from Matthew, he starts in the passage we read with Now, the birth of Jesus Messiah took place in this way. And what was really fascinated me this week as I read that, and a passage I read every single Christmas for goodness knows how many decades. But the word that is translated in English as birth, the birth of Jesus, is in Greek, is Genesis. And that word conveys a much, much wider notion, the notion of creation, of origin. And yes, it is the word name given to the first book of the Hebrew Scriptures, our Old Testament, which describes the creation, the origin of the world and God's actions in it. So the Gospel writer is drawing us straight away into the thrust of his message, that Jesus marks a new creation, a new beginning of God's interactions with the creation. But there is more to it even than this. We very rarely, I think, in church read the first 17 verses of Matthew's Gospel. It's a long, long list that starts, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and goes on for 17 verses. And in the King James Version, if you remember that, so-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so who begat lots of begats. And then we end up in verse 16 with, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. And this list is prefaced by the first verse of Matthew's Gospel, an account of a genealogy of Jesus Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And guess, watch here, the word that is translated as genealogy is Genesis. The concept of origin extending here to lineage or family. Where is Jesus from? He is from all of that history, all of that history of God interacting with humankind. And for Matthew's readers, who were thought to be well versed in Hebrew Scriptures, this was important. Jesus was of the lineage of Abraham. Abraham was the one that God promised all his offspring, in his offspring, all the nations will be blessed. And also that Jesus was of the lineage of the great King David, of whom the prophet Isaiah said that one would come from his house who would have authority and bring endless peace. And this is what for Matthew is important, that Jesus comes from that history. We read the passage, and we read it as we have to from our own understanding, our empirical 21st century worldview. And so we can be concerned about what is being said, and we have different concerns to Matthew. We might ask the question, well, what does to be found of a child with the Holy Spirit mean? Was Mary a virgin? Was Joseph the father? If Joseph wasn't the father, what's with this genealogy? Does that actually matter? Again, remember, for Matthew, the mechanics of what happened is a question. It's a 21st century question, not a first century question. What was important was the meaning. And for him, the meaning was that in Jesus, God was doing something new, but something that was steeped in the long history of God and God's people. And so the genealogy was important. It sets Jesus into history. And note that he explicitly includes the message, the command of the angel in verse 21. Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, by naming Jesus as his name, which we will celebrate sometime in January, he will be formally adopting Jesus into his family. And so Jesus would indeed be a son of Abraham, a son of David, and fulfilling prophecy. But there is more in the story, in the origin story of Jesus, not just son of Abraham, son of David. And Matthew quotes from the prophet Isaiah, look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And again, when you think, well, what is going on here? We read the word virgin and we have a 21st century medical understanding of what virgin means. But Matthew would have been quoting from the Greek version, a translation of the Old Testament. And there the word virgin actually just means a young unmarried woman. And so that is what he's saying. And he's referring, and what's more important is what does this mean, and where the context of the passage he's quoted from Isaiah. In Isaiah, the prophet is speaking at a time when assurance was needed for the Israelites in the face of an impending invasion. And Isaiah says that God will give a sign, and the sign will be a woman pregnant with a child of promise, a sign of hope that God will be with future generations. And here Matthew does, which is a perfectly valid thing to do with biblical prophecy, is taking that prophecy and re-imaging it for his present time. He sees the foretelling of a child of promise, a child that will bring hope to his present generation. And then Matthew then goes on and says, more than just a child of promise, he said this child will be of the Holy Spirit. And again, we have an understanding of the Holy Spirit clouded by the theologians of the Council of Chalcedon and things like that. But for Matthew, what this implies is what Jesus would do. And for the Jews, they had an idea of the Spirit. The Spirit was associated with the wisdom of God, with the way in which God's truth was spoken to men and women. The Holy Spirit taught the prophets what to say and the people what to do. So Matthew is telling us that Jesus will bring God's truth to men and women in a special way. And then the Jews also believe that the Holy Spirit enabled them to recognize the truth of God when they saw it. When Jesus said he came to bring sight to the blind, he didn't really mean just physical healing, but he also meant the ability to see the truth through our own ignorance, our prejudices, or our sins. And then also in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was connected with creation. In Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit moved over the face of the waters. And also the Spirit is associated with recreation, as in Ezekiel's vision of a valley of dry bones. In Hebrew, the word for Spirit is the same as that for breath of life. The Spirit moves over the dry bones and new life comes. So Matthew is saying that Jesus will bring a new creation, will bring new life. So for Matthew then, the birth or the genesis of Jesus was a sign of promise, a sign of hope that God will be with us, a sign of new life, new creation, of God working in a way, a much deeper way than was possible before. And that is the promise that we look forward to at Christmas, more so than any deep theological formulae, the sign of the promise of God acting in the world and through us. And that is what we will come and celebrate at Christmas this week. Amen. Please will you stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven.
So let us pray for the world and for the church. Restore us, O Lord, and we shall be saved. God of grace, you bring salvation to birth in Mary's child. May your church be expectant with hope and promise. Send us out to proclaim your good news with joy. Pray for the church throughout the world, for those who will come to church services in the next week, that they will hear a message of hope and joy and love and peace. In our Anglican Communion, we particularly remember the people of the Church of Burundi, the Diocese of Rockhampton, the Parish of Coulomb, All Saints Anglican School Merrimack, and the Park Centre for Mental Health. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, you surprise us with the gift of your presence. Stir up your strength and be among all rulers and civil leaders. Grant that all may flourish and delight in your peace. We pray for those who lost their lives at the Bondi Beach last Sunday, for those who are grieving for them this Christmas. Pray for the continuing work of our elected leaders at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, we pray for all who have life growing within them, those who greet this news with longing and those fearful of what it might mean. Bless all parents and those who support and care for the young. Pray for families at this time as the school holidays have started. Pray for safe travels, for meeting and greeting relatives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, we pray for all who eat the bread of tears and long for relief in their suffering. Send your Holy Spirit to overshadow us with the promise of your salvation. In our parish, we pray for those who are sick, frail, or emotionally stressed and have asked for our prayers. Ryan, Jocelyn, Peter, David, Jan, Robin and Maxine, Rita, Sharon, Margaret, Don and Deb, Georgina, Glenda, Sue, Liz and Angie, Reverend Shane, Natalie, Lynette, Sue, Rose, Al, Nancy, Jennifer, Sandy, Mary, and Lee. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, you give life to all who trust in you. Hear our prayers of thanksgiving for all who have died. In times of darkness, may the light of your presence bring comfort and the hope of heaven. From our parish book of remembrance, we give thanks for the lives of Norman Donald McLean, Patricia Beams, John Edward Erickson, Jeffrey George Crittle, Kathleen Joan Williams, Herbert Thomas Rowe, Jemima Alice Lampy, and Jean Elizabeth Stone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours. Now,
the Lord comes, bringing light to things now hidden in darkness and disclosing the purposes of the heart. Let us open our hearts to prepare for his coming, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed,
and in what we have failed to do.
We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all our sins. Father, forgive us. Strengthen us to love and obey you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Peace be with you. Four people on Zoom, peace be with you at home. As we remain standing, we sing another hymn, our next hymn, The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came. See, we've got an angel theme today. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory, for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for, so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. You showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. We thank you that as the world made flesh, you come to us in a new and profound way, bringing love and hope and life. Lord, our God, we give you thanks and praise. And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You've gathered us together to feed on Christ and remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament of the body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, we thank that you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. As we joyfully await your Son, keep us ever watchful, that we may be ready to stand before him on the day of his coming. Most loving God, you send us into the world you love. Thank you. As I was saying that last Sunday, when we got home after our joyful cow service, we heard the devastating news of what happened at Bondi Beach. And that has really moved a lot of people, people of all faiths and no faiths, to see that what had happened there needs a response. We need to pray, continue praying for our leaders as they work so this won't happen again. An Anglican priest in New South Wales has written a prayer, which I'd like to pray for us, and then Brian has an offering. Let us pray. We cry out to you, O God, in shock and grief, in the wake of the violence at Bondi Beach. Hold in your eternal love the people who were killed. Surround their families and friends with compassion in the depths of their sorrow. Hold in your care the survivors, the injured, and all who witnessed the attacks. Guide the authorities responsible for investigating what happened and how to prevent such devastation from ever happening again. Have mercy on all who are afraid. Give courage. Have mercy on all who are in grief. Give comfort. Have mercy on all who are in pain. Give healing. Stir up Australians of all faiths and none to stand in solidarity with our Jewish neighbours. Make us builders of a community where everyone has safety and dignity and peace. Amen.
This song was written in 1971 and remains as relevant today as when John Lennon wrote it.
Our missional hymn, Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart, reminds us that this is through Jesus that we believe that the peace will come. Would you please stand?
Thank you.
Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.